Daniel chapter number 5, when you have found verse number 5, let me ask you if you can and are physically able to stand tonight. Daniel chapter 5, we'll begin at verse number 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible reads, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known the interpretation No make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Look down to verse 24, if you would with me, please. The Bible said, then was the part of the hand sent from him. This is the writing, and this writing was written. This is the writing that was written. Many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. I'm interested in verse number 27. The interpretation of that word tekel is this: thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. I want to preach tonight on this thought. It's time to get on the scale. It's time to get on the scale. Would you join me as we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that, Lord, you have afforded us again to be able to gather together in this place. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for how the music has already prepared our heart. And God, plowed the ground that the seed of the Word of God might find good, fertile soil. Lord, I pray that God, tonight as we hear, that God, you would speak to us. God, that you'd give me that extra measure of strength that I stand desperately in need of. Lord, the old timers used to pray for the unction. Lord, I need that unction tonight. Lord, we need it every hour. God, especially in the hour in which we live. And so, Father, I pray that, God, you'd give me an extra portion of your touch and your power tonight. Lord, I pray that, God, you would bring forth the things from this text that, God, you want us to pay attention to. And, God, would you drive them home in our hearts tonight? Lord, we love you. God, I don't understand why out of all the people that have lived on this planet since the beginning of time, that God, you have allowed us to be alive at this time with all these things going on. But as the preacher reminded us, Lord, there's no need to worry. Lord, we know the one who's in control of everything. Lord, that doesn't mean that we're to be careless. That doesn't mean that we're to have a carefree attitude, but Lord, there's no need for us to worry because God, you've got everything under control. And Father, we know that God, you'll care for your children because you are a good father. And so Lord, I pray that Lord, you'd strengthen us, help us, and God, show us tonight what you see when you look at us. Lord, that's a lot of times a hard prayer. Lord, I pray that we would see what you see and that, God, you would deal with us and help us to respond. And, Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. In the text tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we find that Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, has made a great feast. He's taken the vessels that had been set aside, sanctified, set apart for the worship and the service of God in the temple. And while they're reveling and they're feasting, he takes those vessels and begins to pour wine and drink and feast and revel with the vessels that had been sanctified to the use of God. Now, that got God's attention. It almost seems like that could be something that would happen in this day and age, because, I mean, all kind of strange stuff has happened in the last 5 months. But I'll be honest with you, if a hand showed up that did not have a body attached to it and began to write over on the wall, I guarantee you everybody in this room, their attention would be glued to that hand, trying to figure out what is going on. Every time I read this text, you know, you have things that you connect with from your childhood. And I remember as a kid coming home from school and watching the Addams Family. Wasn't it that, what was that hand that came out of the box? Was that it or thing? I can't never remember which one it was, but what it thing? And that's kind of what I think about when I read this text, but we know who that hand belonged to. It didn't come out of a box, it came out of nowhere. It began to write on the wall, and the Bible tells us that sight so affected the king that he couldn't think right, he couldn't control his bodily functions, and he began to tremble with fear. He called the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, all the wise men of Babylon, and they all failed in the interpretation of the message. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever noticed how God places his people in a strategic place for a strategic time? We look at the life of Daniel and think, man, what a tragedy. Daniel has been thrown into prison. Daniel has been incarcerated. Daniel has had his freedoms taken away from him. But Brother Jeff, he's there for a purpose. And he's there for just the right time, because word gets back to the king that there's somebody that can interpret dreams. And so they call for Daniel. And Daniel, amen, comes to favor with his captors and is called to interpret the message. And the part of the message that I want us to consider tonight is this: thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, we don't use balances anymore. We've got all kind of electric means for weighing out and measuring out commodities. But back in Bible days, and even in times not too distant in the past, balances were used to weigh out things. And so a weight of a known quantity would be placed on one side of the balance, and then the commodity that was being bought or sold would be placed on the other. And when those balances leveled out, you knew you had a fair balance, not a false balance. The Bible warns against the false balance and taking advantage of somebody just because they might not be understanding of how that all worked. But the interesting thing about the text tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible said that the king is weighed in the balances and found wanting. That means that he came up light. He was not in reality what he appeared to be visibly. Let me just let that sink in on you just a minute. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be our desire to be who we are and what we are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen? Listen, I like people that are real. I like people that are legit. Listen, that doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean we never make mistakes. That doesn't mean we never fail and falter. But it means that there is a desire not to be deceptive. Amen? Man, we're living in a world that seems like it is filled with deception. There's a lot of things right now that just don't make sense in the big picture of all this. It used to be we lived in a country where we were fairly certain that our news media was giving us information that was true and verified. Now we're coming to the place where we're almost wondering if we're not falling into the same category as other countries that have propaganda. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that to alarm you, But I am saying that to get you to realize that the only one that's going to give you the truth is this book and your God. And the Bible said that he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, we know that scales have many uses. Every now and again, I go into the doctor just to have a wellness checkup. And I'm at that age where the doctor wants me to come in and have some things checked on a fairly regular basis. And I'll go in. we got this was going around back in February. Barbie and I were as sick as we have ever been in our lives. And so I got back up to Indiana and I went to see my doctor. And the first thing that they do, Brother Phil, is they put you on a scale. That's just always discouraging. At least to me it is. Because I had gained some weight over quarantine. You know, I'm sitting in a motor coach. I'm not preaching. I don't have a lot going on. Everybody's saying, stay in your house. Amen. Don't go outside because there's dangerous stuff out there. And we just stayed in the house and I ate. And I studied, and I ran down every conspiracy theory rabbit hole that I could possibly find. Amen. It scared myself half to death. But the point I'm trying to make is I got on that scale, and I said to the nurse, I said, I'm up a little bit since the last time. She said, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody's up since the last time. Well, that scale tells the truth. I may not like what the scale says, but there's no disputing that I am what the scale says I am. Some of you that have been around here a while may remember our youngest son, Nathan, who traveled with us. I still remember the time that I was preaching at the camp and we were going to go to another church on Sunday morning. We had planned to come here Sunday night. And as we drove past on Highway 50, I saw a tour bus out front and I decided we were coming here on Sunday morning. I had no idea who the group was, but I knew they was having singing here. And it was the Down East Boys. And I remember Nathan was wearing a vest and had his tie. It was about that long. And one of the guys from the Down East Boys, he had his tie the same way. I still remember, I got the picture somewhere of Nathan and that singer with her tie. I mean, little bitty, stubby little thing. But I got to thinking about that because Nathan has gotten married. They've got a child. They're having their second child here in a month and a half. And right after they got married, Nate landed a really good job and was making good money and still is making good money. And he called me up one day and was very frustrated. I could just tell, Brother Jeff, from the tone of his voice, he was very frustrated about something. This is how the conversation went. He said, Dad, is Mom there? And I said, yeah, why? And he said, I need her to talk to Serena. Well, that's his wife. Now, you ladies know that conversation is not going to go well. I said, what seems to be the problem? He said, she needs to teach Serena how to do laundry. I said, why? He said, because she's shrinking all my clothes. Well, I had seen pictures of him on social media. And it was apparent that she wasn't shrinking his clothes. It was apparent that he had gotten too big for his clothes. I mean, he married a girl that had a year of culinary school, and I'm telling you, that girl can flat cook. I'm just telling you, man, she's amazing. And he just would eat and eat and eat and eat, and everything was getting tight on him. And, you know, I said to Nathan, have you been on the scale lately? And he said, we don't have one. He said, I look in the mirror, I don't look any different. Well, you know, that's hard to judge when you see yourself every day. You don't notice the gradual increase. You don't notice the gradual increase in size and weight, and your chin gets a little bit bigger and your face gets a little bit rounder. You kind of miss that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying that scales keep us honest. And I noticed in this text tonight that there are three scales that Belshazzar was weighed upon. And the conclusion of those scales, ladies and gentlemen, in Belshazzar's life was undeniable and indisputable. The scales told the truth about Belshazzar. I got to thinking, you know, those same scales can be used to help us determine our spiritual weight and our spiritual wellness. I asked my doctor, because I never like getting on the scale, because that just is a discouraging thing to me. I said, why Do I have to get on the scale every time I'm here? I can look in a mirror and tell that I need to lose weight. I don't need you to tell me that. And he said, well, I said, preacher, he said, if there is a sudden weight loss or a sudden weight gain without any explanation as to why, he said, that is indicative that there might be a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I was looking at this text. The Bible says about Belshazzar that he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. So I want you tonight to get on these three scales with me and with Belshazzar. And I think it's a good place to start a three-day meeting or a four-day meeting, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by getting on the scale and seeing where we are and allowing God to show us where He wants us to be by the end of this meeting. Look at verse number 5, if you would, please. The Bible said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed. Notice this, and his thoughts troubled him. Can I say, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, that Belshazzar was weighed on the scale of conscience? And we all have a rudimentary understanding of what that conscience is. That is that compass that is inside every one of us that we are born with that tells us generally what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not. But ladies and gentlemen, as we go on through life, that conscience begins to lose its ability to work. Because we sear it. That word conscience literally means with knowledge. And I got to thinking, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that troubled Belshazzar was what he knew about himself. You see, the one that knows you the best tonight is not your wife, not your husband, not your mother or your father. But other than God, the one that knows you the best is you. And see, ladies and gentlemen, our problem many times is we're not honest with ourselves. We keep trying to be deceptive and convince ourselves that things are better than they really are. That things are not really that bad, that I'm not really that far off track, that I'm not really that far away from God, that I can get back to God anytime I want to. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just say this? That is not always the case. That scale reveals the certainty of what we feed on. I want you to notice what the Bible says about this. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Ladies and gentlemen, that scale reveals the validity of what we fear. His thoughts troubled him. So ladies and gentlemen, that scale reveals the validity of what we feed on. It reveals the validity of what we fear. It reveals the reality of what we fake. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be a phony. I want to be the real thing. I didn't know that, preacher, you had been called to preach under Brother Hicks. That guy was the real deal. I mean, a real genuine man of God, the real genuine article. I mean, look at these verses again. The Bible said, verse number 2, well, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which is in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let me say secondly, ladies and gentlemen, quickly tonight, that Belshazzar was weighed not only on the scale of conscience, but he was weighed on the scale of obedience. I remember well when I was pastoring down in the state of Missouri, and we had gone to a little camp meeting down in the southeastern corner of the state. It was a little place called Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And the preacher got done preaching that night, and the moderator of the meeting stood up, and Brother Jeremiah, he with a little pointy, bony finger pointed out to the crowd and asked a very searching question that I have never forgotten. He said, have you done everything that God has asked you to do tonight in this meeting? You see, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it ought to be our desire every time we come to church, not just to come to have our attendance marked off, not just to come to let people know that we are a good Christian, but I believe it ought to be our desire every time we come to church that God would speak to us. And that we would not leave the church building and not leave the property with things undone in our life. Have you ever stopped to consider what a blessing it is that God, the God of all heaven, the one that while we have been in this room has been making sure that the earth has been spinning at just the appropriate rotation, that we don't get flung off, but we don't get sucked in, the one that has kept the oxygen content just exactly where it needs to be to sustain life, the one, this always amazes me, the one that has taken those two molecules of hydrogen, amen, connected to that one molecule of oxygen and keeps those connected so that we can drink this to cool our bodies or to refresh ourselves. But those two molecules, Brother Phil, separated, become fuel and accelerant. Hydrogen is one of the most highly flammable things that there is. And oxygen just makes things burn faster. And yet God combines those two things and we use it to put fire out. We use it to cool our body and to refresh ourselves. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be obedient to the Lord. Listen, we are responsible for our behavior. Amen. And listen, we all fail. We all sometimes fail miserably. We'd been sitting in the motor coach in Indiana, up in northwest Indiana for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 weeks. And we started our series of meetings after the shutdown up in Wisconsin. And I was up in Racine, Wisconsin. There was a whole lot of construction going on up there. And I was in the motor coach. We were leaving Racine and going up toward the Wisconsin Dells to preach another meeting. And they had traffic shut down. They had orange cones. And, amen, they gave you a warning about a mile back that the left lane was closed. I don't know if you're like me, but when they say a mile back that the left lane is closed, it really frustrates me when people come blowing up that left lane and dive in front of you. And just to let you know that preachers aren't altogether different than everybody else, there are days when we aren't in a really good frame of mind to have that happen. So I'm driving the motor coach. I've got the Jeep behind me. We're in heavy traffic. And all of a sudden, I see this car coming up on my left. And I didn't even say anything to Barbie. I just pulled halfway in that lane. She said, what are you doing? I said, they saw the same sign I did. She said, well, they're going to try to get around you. I said, they're going to eat orange traffic cones before they get around me. Amen. I just kept eating. She said, you've got scripture on the back of the coach. I said, good, maybe they'll notice it. And brother, I won. I succeeded. They stayed behind me. And then the Lord said, you big idiot. Has the Lord ever talked to you that way? Just said, you're a knucklehead. What would be the big deal about letting that car in front of you? At that point, I wasn't even thinking about all that. I just was thinking about principle. It's just, they saw the same sign I did. Bless God, they ought to move over. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, listen, there are times when all of us, we all fail. We all do wrong. And I'm glad that God deals with me about that. So, well, that's just a simple thing. Okay. But if he deals with me in simple things and I respond in simple things, the chances of him dealing with me in big things and me responding in big things, I've established a pattern. Listen, don't ever get to the place in your Christian life where something that God deals with your heart about is too small and too insignificant for you to respond as God has dealt with you to respond. You see, what God's doing is he's putting us on that scale and he's weighing us and finding if we are the genuine article or if we are something less than what we have presented ourselves to be. Now, we see it all the time in the political world, don't we? Somebody who is a lawmaker and somebody who, amen, is a well-respected individual. And then you come to find out that they've been embezzling money, or they've been skimming off of something, or they have taken advantage of somebody. Listen, I want to be the real deal. I want God to know that I am who I am 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not so that anybody can glory over that, but so that God can get the glory. We're responsible for not only our behavior, but we're responsible because of the hour. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And look at verse number 11. Romans 13:11. This is an interesting verse in light of the time in which we live. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're living in a world that is sound asleep spiritually. And we're living in the midst of a lot of Christians that are sound asleep spiritually. They're not paying attention to what's going on. They're not watching these things play out in the light of their Bible. They're not conscious of how the time in which we live. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have an unprecedented opportunity. We've got a world looking for answers. There are things that don't make sense. And we've got answers that make sense. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got an unprecedented opportunity to get the gospel to a lost and dying world in a fashion that we've not had in our lifetime. Amen. You know what our problem is? We've allowed the minorities, and I'm not talking about racial, I'm talking about percentages. We've allowed them to silence us. We've allowed them to cause us to quiet down and to stand down because we're afraid of what somebody's going to say, of how somebody might label us. Amen. I just saw something just the other day. Brother Holt, a friend of mine who is a vibrant and a very vocal street witness, he sent me an article up in Canada of how somebody is being prosecuted because they put a chick track that was labeled hateful and hate speech and dangerous and offensive. And I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's the hour in which we live. But listen, let's not let that be the thing that stops us. This world is looking for answers. And the answers aren't found in the government. The answers aren't found in the CDC task force. The answers aren't found in the WHO. They're just not. They're found in this book. Amen. Let me give you the last thought and I'm done. Look at verse 22. This is very interesting. The Bible said, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of the house of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified." I said Belshazzar was weighed on the scale of conscience. He was weighed on the scale of obedience. But finally, and this is probably the most concerning to me, is he was weighed on the scale of God's omniscience. That word omni means all. We know science means knowing. Means we've got an all-knowing God. Do you realize you have not ever one time hidden anything you've ever done, ever said, ever thought from God? He knew it all. And just that fact, that he knows everything that goes on, Brother Jeff, in my heart, my mind, my conscience, and yet he is willing to have a relationship and longs to have a relationship and sent his son to die that he might redeem me. Man, there was a reviewing of history, and in verses 18 through 21, we won't take time to look at it because of time, but we find that he reviews what had gone on with his father Nebuchadnezzar, one who had lifted up himself in pride. And then there was a revealing of his heart in verse number 22. The Bible said, "Thou, his son, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." He had strayed. And then finally there was a revealing or a reading of the handwriting. And so three scales tonight. The scale of conscience. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, that man that you shave, or if you're like me, you trim, that person that you brush their teeth and comb their hair and wash their face, what does that person know about you? Are you the real deal? Are you genuine through and through? Or there are some things that if people really knew what was going on the inside and what that other side of your being is like, that it would cause them a great deal of concern or disappointment. And there's the scale of obedience. And I'll ask that same question. Have you done everything God has asked you to do tonight? Because, ladies and gentlemen, until we leave this room, until we dismiss this service and say amen, and we get in our cars and go to our several places of residence, we still have an opportunity for God to deal with us. And boy, what a blessing it is to know that he would be concerned. I mean, the God that has done everything for you and me is concerned about you and me. And then finally, there's the scale of God's omniscience, what he knows about you. And so as you step on the scale tonight, are you found wanting? Are you found less than what you appear to be? You see, I've got good news for you tonight. God invites you to come. Amen. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence tonight. God, I want to thank you for helping me. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the men that came to my aid and, Lord, that helped me. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you've done. And, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us now. Lord, I know that all you have to work with is imperfection. All you have to work with is frailty and flesh. And, Lord, we know that God, you're able and desirous to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us now. Lord, put us on the scales, the scale of conscience, the scale of obedience, God, the scale of your omniscience. And God, show us what we need to do. Lord, I pray that there would be some progress that is made in all of our lives between now and the close of this meeting on Wednesday. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you tonight, just before we stand to our feet, I want to ask you this evening, did God speak to you? God show you something in the message that you need to care for? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight. Just going to ask you to be obedient to the Lord as he has dealt with you. There's something you need to do. There's some response you need to make. Then by all means, I'd encourage you to do that.